All views, opinions, and comments expressed herein are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of StoneX Group Incorporated and/or its subsidiaries. This content does not constitute an offer or solicitation to open a trading account, to trade in any specific product, or to engage with any services provided by StoneX Group Incorporated or its subsidiaries. This content is not intended for residents of any particular country or jurisdictions where such content is prohibited.
Welcome to the Trading Global Macro Podcast from StoneX, where we unpack the complex forces driving global financial markets. I'm John Kicklider, Global Head of Content at StoneX.
And I'm Matt Weller, Global Head of Market Research for StoneX's self-directed brands. Each week in this podcast, we explore the macroeconomic trends and geopolitical events shaping Forex, equities, commodities, interest rates, and more. John, happy Tuesday as we record this. It's the 28th of October. What are we discussing today?
So I think we decided to have something of a evolution of what we did in last week's episode, where we talked about incorporating global macro into your trading or your market approach. And we're going to focus in on, I think, the more catalyzing area of the spectrum, and that's trading or investing around event risk. And there's a scale, as we would insinuate here, as we talked about last week, and that you should look at the very big picture top-down approach, or if your preference is bottom-up, you can also do it that way, but I think most of us do top-down. We look at a broader consideration of what the entire financial system is doing, usually based around something as universal as risk appetite trends. So if there's this overbearing interest in risk on or risk off, there tends to be a skew which can ride through themes and ride through event risk as if they're not even there. Sometimes it amplifies their impact. But that's the first stage. Second stage is looking at what themes are most interesting to a market. So it could be monetary policy, trade policy, fiscal policy, government policy, or some of the more traditional economic factors. And then you get down to event risk. That can be something scheduled, and it can also be unscheduled. But I think a lot of what our focus is going to be today is going to be around scheduled events, either definitively or loosely, because we want to talk about some of the practical ways to approach it, and to incorporate it into what you're doing. So, Matt, from your perspective, why do you think that scheduled event risk is really appealing to, I think, specifically for retail traders and self-directed traders? But I think it draws all the attention from anybody, market participant, at different phases. But what do you think powers that kind of interest?
Well, it's pretty straightforward for anyone who's been in markets. And I think it all centers around volatility, right? This is when the markets move. If we have a uncertain central bank meeting, or for an individual company, maybe an earnings release, these are the types of things that can cause people to fundamentally change their outlook, not just for that day, but for weeks, sometimes months, quarters, even years in the future. So that those kinds of things play out over longer periods, but they all sort of get condensed into this single release, this inflation report, this jobs report that can dramatically reshape how people are viewing the path of growth for the economy, the industry, the individual company. So I think it's a benefit of having these very open markets and sort of scheduled event releases. Generally, they're not leaked, so everyone's getting access to the same information at the same time. And in many cases, it comes down to a matter of speed. And I'm sure we'll talk about this more as we go. But there are, you know, countless algorithms that are co-located where this data is released and close to some of the exchanges that quickly adjust and make estimates on how this will impact markets moving forward. But there's also an effect that plays out over those days and weeks as we evaluate, well, was this a one-off? Was this something due to seasonality or not likely to be sustained? Or was it a significant change, acceleration, deceleration of a trend? So I think it really just comes down to the fact that everyone learns this information at the same time, and it can have a very dramatic influence on broad global macro markets and then all the way down to individual securities or investments that someone might make. So it's a very important topic to discuss. What are your thoughts there, John?
Yeah, it's very important to know that most of the volatility that we see in markets is around something that was previously unknown. So not a big strong believer in the efficient market hypotheses, because it tends to, or at least the way that I was taught it, the people who taught me, kind of threw out the implications of speculative interest. But the markets are fairly efficient at pricing in things that any news or data that comes across the wires, and adding to that and projecting what it means into the future. So what an event risk is in essence a more convenient methodology of adding new data that needs to be repriced. Of course, when something is out of the, is completely off the radar, it is a much bigger surprise. And that's why you get, I think, a more robust impact from its news. And subsequently, it can also trigger a cascading effect into like trend development, whether it be bullish or bearish, whether it's good or bad. But this event risk is the inclusion of new information that has to be repriced. It has to be something that now is taken into consideration. So this is why I think a lot of traders really prefer to seek out this event risk. You go to whatever macro calendar you prefer, and you see what's on there and what you think could be market moving to the relevant market, and then incorporate it. But it's not just for the short-term traders, whether you're professional or an amateur. It's also for, I think, the people that are investors. So they're there for a longer holding period, where these singular events would theoretically be in the scale of their holdings and in the big picture of their objectives and their probably broader stop losses, a blip on the screen. But still, there are situations in which you want to know how this event risk is going to play out. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Matt, about why you think some of these longer-term investors, because you skew towards this more than I do, why they would include some of this event risk into their monitoring of their market?
I think you did a good job outlining it, and it essentially comes back to the fact that the markets are always forward-looking. So everyone knows the date of a CPI release or a Fed meeting, very salient right now, and they have expectations. Using the example of a Fed meeting, they're reading between the lines of all these Fed speeches, they're looking at the summary of economic projections, and they essentially know which direction that it might come in, and it can apply even for things that don't have as much subjectivity. People might disagree with that, but things like a jobs report or CPI, that we can read some of these leading indicators, we can build models based on historical correlations to try to project where these numbers will come out. And that really gets into the key part here when you're evaluating event risk, and that's expectations. How the numbers come in relative to expectations is going to impact how markets react. If it's mostly as expected, as we record this, we have a Fed meeting coming up that's essentially 98% discounted for the Fed to cut interest rates 25 basis points. And that's something that maybe there's egg on my face, but I don't think so. That essentially is priced in. So when an event risk comes out in line with expectations, oftentimes there's no big changes among these longer term traders, or even in many cases short term traders, because things are evaluating as expected. It's really when we get those surprises relative to those expectations that cause people to reevaluate here. Maybe drilling in on the example of an earnings report, if Tesla reports more car sales than were expected, well, then there's all these CFA analysts that have these models that are saying, okay, well, we expected them to sell X million cars this year. It looks like they're trending above that. Let me put in these new numbers. And now it spits out a new different fair value model for Tesla. So I think it's this drip. It's not even really a drip. It's like a waterfall of information all at once that condenses, for example, an entire quarter, an entire month, an entire 8 weeks between central bank meetings into this one moment. And that can really cause traders to reevaluate some of their priors, or maybe not. Maybe it just confirms it and the trend continues as is. But I think that's really why it's such an interesting, fruitful topic to examine, because it's a condensation of weeks, months, sometimes years of data all getting released at once. Obviously creates volatility, and that creates potential opportunity for traders, perhaps, who are able to better analyze, better anticipate how these numbers might come out relative to expectations. So that's a kind of a long answer to just say we're getting a lot of information all at once, and it can dramatically impact how we're viewing different markets moving forward.
Yeah, and I'd add to that too, that the underlying conditions of the market can also add to the impact of a market. So if we're looking at something like the VIX volatility index as a implied or expected volatility, or if you want, because I'm increasingly a skeptic of the signal power of the VIX and its implied status. If you were looking at something that is historical volatility, like an ATR, which is an average true range, if the higher the volatility you get, the more reactive the markets are by nature. So the more demanding they are of information. So they're more likely to pay attention to something that may not be the top singular market moving impact that it could be. And it can even escalate or elevate a medium tier event risk into something that is just surprisingly market moving. And it's not necessarily because of the importance of the data, although it is important because the markets are putting emphasis on it. It's more so the nature of the underlying market. It's already volatile. So it's just going to add to that existing volatility. So I would add that too, but a great explanation overall. So if we're going through this, I mean, when you're looking at event risk and considering the backdrop of the market conditions, are we more volatile? Are we less volatile? Are we moving on themes? Are we not moving on themes? That is important to do because event risk in and of itself, it's important. We could look at Italian trade balance, or we could look at Peruvian inflation. And those are important for those economies and for the financial systems. But are they important to the scale of moving the local asset, much less the broader financial system? It does depend upon what the broader market's looking at and what kind of state we're in. So it's very important. I've had many interns, many analysts under me in the past, and I've seen some emphasis on some really silly event risk and the expectations that it's going to be really market moving. I'll use an example. There was an instance of somebody I used to work with, a very good analyst, but he presumed that the Swiss economic forecast indicator, the COF, was going to be really market moving, and had his whole explanation about why. We watched across the wires. It was actually a surprise. So they had the elements of actually being market moving, didn't even move the Swiss franc, much less move the broader market. And it was just going back and doing an audit about why it wouldn't move the market is because it just didn't tap into something that was more systemically important for Switzerland at the time, but also obviously for the broader market. So it's important to prioritize what is moving the markets. And it's going to be the case that these things change with time because there's different themes, there's different influences, there's different uncertainties. And as those shift, the impact of certain event risk is going to change. But there are, I will say, some historically fairly consistent major event risks that we get that cross the wires. What would be on your list, Matt, of those consistently reliable events that we can mark down on our calendar to be aware of?
If from a global macro perspective, I'd kind of boil it down to maybe three, and they're all sort of related. I would say jobs data, generally speaking, the marquee jobs report of in most cases the month, the inflation reports, and then because those two spill into central bank decisions, and those I would say are the big three, because at the end of the day, that determines interest rates and sort of the price of money, which is a foundational concept that spills into the valuation of all other assets, markets, et cetera. So those are the big three. Certainly, if you're trading individual equities, the earnings reports that we get quarterly, at least here in the US, can cause that sort of big volatility in that. But again, it's very localized, whereas some of these broad macro trends are things that are going to impact all assets, regardless of whether you're trading an individual equity in Mexico or an emerging market currency or a bond in Europe. All of these can be impacted by the truly large economies, mostly the US, China, maybe the Eurozone, Japan to an extent. Those large economies and how they're trending tend to set the tone for the rest of the global economies and by extension, the rest of those asset valuations. So if I had to boil it down, it would be around jobs, inflation and central bank decisions, broadly speaking, and then bigger priority on some of those larger economies. Did I miss any there from your perspective, John, or happy for you to put a bullet on any of those as well?
Those, I think, having done this for a couple decades, those are the ones that have been consistent. They're not always the most market moving, surely, but they are consistently popping up as being on the top lists And there are actually some on the other side of that spectrum that are, we would assume they're going to be really market moving, but they rarely are. And I think a really good one is also indicative of this week is the quarterly GDP releases. Those are very big. Those are very important, fundamentally speaking. And they are the official statistics, especially the advanced readings. And I have, there are very few instances of my in my memory of where these GDP readings have been really market moving. And I think it consistently surprises people who are relatively new to event risk. Why is such an important event not that market moving? Well, because it's fairly old. We have a lot of contributing indicators that you can kind of like suss out what the actual outcome is going to be eventually anyways. And it's more timely anyway, regardless that we're seeing figures, let's say for the end of the third quarter, you're already getting indicators that are like telling you the health and performance of the economy in October. So there's also on that spectrum, I would also say. So to round this out, let's talk a little bit about the practical implications in bringing this event risk appreciation into our strategy. And there's two, I think, general approaches I'll split into, and I'll be a little ham-fisted about it. But there's those that are actually very much place the foundation of their trading around brief volatility events like are triggered by events. And then there's also those that are a little bit more including event risk as an additive component of their investing or their trading approach. So from a foundation, I'll take that. When you're trading around event risk, you're very much having to appreciate what the capacity of the event risk is. You should be very aware. You should have an economic docket that you think is very reliable, that you can prepare. Generally, you're talking about a time frame that's much shorter if it's going to be inclusive of this event risk, and especially if it's a component of the trade. So sometimes people will look for trades that last for a couple of days, and it can be around a major event like a FOMC rate decision. And if you're looking for a swing in the markets of a substantial size, that would be actually quite a difficult given the average true range or the average daily movement that you're getting from that market. And you essentially are putting more emphasis on that event risk of providing that additional movement, then it should be very much an approach with caution. You should be looking for clear stop considerations. You should be looking for a time frame consideration. The shorter term traders that trade around event risk, I see very oftentimes, they expected it to play out in 2 days, and they're still holding the same trade for 2.5 weeks because it's going to play out. You should have a time stop too. But event risk, when you're placing a setup or an idea that includes that event risk, or it just happens to fall up in the same time frame of the approach that you're taking, because you, let's say you're doing it from a technical perspective and you just purely like the technical pattern, you still should take into consideration the capacity of that event risk to move the markets. Even if you don't believe in fundamental analysis, a lot of other people do, and they will be responsive and reactive to that event risk. So you want to include it. So you always want to take into consideration what's on the docket and what kind of impact it could potentially have. Go take a look at the last time that market that you're interested in responded to that equivalent event risk. And has the fundamental theme shifted so that it's more important now than it was in the past, or is it less important now than it was in the past? Take those into consideration, because it can really help you out and avoid even trades that maybe I shouldn't be in this because there's too much risk associated to this event and I should not be around. So that's when you're taking this as a foundation of the strategy, it's usually in the shorter term around event risk. I think there's some of the guidelines I'd offer. What would you do for somebody who is considering as an additive component to their approach to the markets? What would you insinuate or suggest?
I think it's a really good suggestion to look at past examples, see the scale of the market moves. I would probably not just look at one, but I'd look at least the last year's worth for a monthly data and maybe a couple of years for less frequent data and say, okay, Amazon beat earnings by this amount, and this is the type of move it had in the stock, and just use that to sort of calibrate your expectations against the current market conditions, and then try to evaluate if this is your jam. If you're trying to use it primarily as a trading strategy, try to evaluate where the balance of probabilities lies, however you want to do that, whether that's identifying the broader picture and whether perhaps a negative report might not deter the main fundamental theme that's expected to persist over time periods, or whether you're specifically trying to catch this immediate move. one piece of advice that I emphasize in some of my webinars, which I do around some of these event releases, is maybe the most risky time to trade is immediately in the first minute or two after a release. I think a lot of people are compelled by that. They hopefully have a game plan going in, but you're never going to be as fast as some of these co-located algorithms that get the number before you can even see it, much less process it, much less click some buttons on your computer to trade off of it. And also, when we have those releases, we tend to see liquidity might dry up a little bit. We might see spreads widen out, so there's higher costs of trading as well. So what I generally advise traders to do is, one, you can just get out of all trades if it's not compatible with your trading strategy. If you are trying to trade, either doing so beforehand because you feel like you have an edge on that release and how the market's going to react, or let markets settle for a little bit. And then if you think the movement that you were looking for has not occurred to that extent, then enter the trade, but not in the immediate aftermath, because those tend to be very volatile, as essentially machines trade against each other. And that's where we can get some whipsaws in both directions. So those are some general pointers I would have for trading around event risk, because it certainly presents a lot of opportunity, but it also presents a lot of risk. So it's something that if you're not watching one way or another, you're going to get burned one eventually. So it can present that opportunity, but make sure you're being smart around how you trade around it and maximizing your opportunities for success would be my primary takeaway.
Well put. Okay. Thanks for tuning in to the Trading Global Macro Podcast from StoneX. If you enjoyed today's discussion, make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm John Kicklighter.
And I'm Matt Weller. Join us again next week for more insights into the trends and events shaping the world's financial markets. Thank you.